Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Good morning. What a beautiful day. Amen. Just got a thing on my phone. There's a flood warning starting tomorrow again. But that's okay. We don't look at it as rain anymore. It's like the old hymn that I love so dearly. Showers of blessing. Amen. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the shower. Hey, praise God. Literally, Wednesday night, we rode the storm out in here. Had some people in their bathroom. They shared with me today. They were watching it online until the lightning hit around here. Remember, knocked out the sound. So they said they could see me at one point, but I didn't have words. They were able to preach a sermon for me. They said, immediately saying, I'm going to be short-winded tonight, and I'm going to preach short Sunday. You don't get that, do you? You know that's not true. If I say that, it ends up being an hour and a half long. But no, thank the Lord that God was really gracious. I know they said that there was technically an EF1 that hit right there around Frank Martin. So thank the Lord for that, that God protected, did a little bit of, I know, with the power poles and things and some trees down. And I know Richard Duggar's office, I think, got the roof taken off of it. But thank the Lord there wasn't anybody that got hurt. So praise God for that. Pray for all of the ones that are sick. We have a number of people that are out sick this morning that had texted me. I know with the school being shut down on Thursday and Friday of this week, week before Coffee County, a lot of sickness going around right now. Y'all, we need to pray about this coronavirus. There was actually an accidental leaking of the statistics of the number of people that have actually died and were sick over there, and it was astronomical. Of course, the Chinese government's pretty heavy about filtering things. They don't want mass pandemonium and chaos to happen. It is a lot more substantial than we can imagine. So just pray about that. Thank the Lord, as Miss Joanne and I were talking this morning, you know what? God's in control. Nothing can happen outside of God's allowance and his control. But at the same time, nobody wants a repeat of the 1918 flu epidemic. I know nobody here was most likely around for that, but we don't want to see what happened back then happen now. So just lift up all the ones in prayer that are battling. I mean, everything from strep, stomach viruses, to the flu going around from what I have gathered. And just pray that God would bring them back to health, that God would protect the lungs from pneumonia is one of the big things that I know a lot of people are struggling with right now as a result of the flu that they're getting. That stomach thing is still going around. I mean, that is like a bad movie that just doesn't end. It continues to go on and on. So just pray. You know, we've got a lot of little ones right now, a lot of little babies that really can affect them a lot. So just pray. Pray for that. Pray that God would protect us that are here right now. And if it does happen, you know, that God would use it to grow us. And I know a lot of times he'll use that to slow us down a little bit. Amen? Yeah, we all need a little bit of slowing down at times. But lift up. I know Miss Martha had a family member pass away. Also, Miss Beverly this morning, all of you in her class, she had a family member that passed away. So she was going to take care of the grandchildren while the family drove up to Ohio where one of the family members had passed away. So she wanted me to let all of you know that she's okay. And I'm so thankful she let me know because y'all know as well as I do, it would really have concerned us. So thank the Lord for her and that God would encourage her today since she's not going to be able to be in fellowship as she's with her family today. I want to welcome all of you. Visitors, it's an honor to have you with us today. We thank God that he has placed you with us today to fellowship. Today we're here to worship Jesus. We're here to celebrate King Jesus. We have nothing here this morning apart from the life-giving work of salvation that Jesus Christ brought us through his death, burial, and resurrection. I thank the Lord this morning that when we see the cross, it's a picture of what Christ did for us. He died, he bore that sin, and then he rose again on the third day, having taken the keys to hell and death away from the enemy. And I thank God today that the cross is actually, to me, a picture of life. A lot of people see it and think of it a picture of death. No, that to me is a picture of life because without Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we have nothing this morning to celebrate. We don't celebrate the death. We celebrate what his death accomplished. Amen? So this morning, we are made righteous in the presence of God when you come to faith and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it's not that we are righteous, is it? It's that his righteousness and his payment, in a sense, it shields, it pays for, it atones for our sin. So I'm thankful today that you're here to celebrate that this morning, that Jesus Christ loves us and that he right now has a plan for you. We've been talking a lot about that in this Sunday morning series we've been going through with Nehemiah. If you were here Wednesday night, you know, we've been going through that series on Elijah and the Mount Carmel and the Mount Carmel style victories. I really think that storm on Wednesday night that kept some people who were either sick or couldn't make it that were watching that to kind of discourage them. Don't let that discourage you. You can only be discouraged as much as we allow the enemy's tactics to discourage us. Don't give him that authority and that right over you. Amen? You take captive your joy in Christ and know that God can even use something like that, that cut out a message you were really being encouraged by. God can encourage you. God can challenge you. Get in his word. Dig in his word. And what we know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that his word will do everything that we need it to do. All the way from encourage us to challenge us. You ready for the hard one? To rebuke us. Anybody ever need that? We all do, don't we, at times. But I thank the Lord that his word pushes us, in a sense, it corrals us into that place where we can be blessed, blessed of God, blessed by God. If you have your Bibles this morning, I pray you do, turn to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be in the sixth chapter today, verses 15 through 19, and we are in part 9 of our study. It's actually the final part of this study and what we've been looking at in the life of Nehemiah. We're going to wrap up this study, and as I've shared with you over and over again, every one of us has, not only before we came to faith in Christ, we were in a sense standing on a pile of rubble, meaning that when you and I are born, we are born separated from God. The sin nature that we are in are passed down from our father's DNA. When we are born separated from God. We don't have fellowship with him. Well, as we go on in life, what I believe happens that every person that is ever born, that God opens their heart at one point or another to the fact that they are sinners in need of a Savior. They understand that. We know what God's word says. The desire is that none should perish. What happens when God opens that heart is, as we see with the rich man and that encounter with Jesus, the rich man says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It says, keep the law. The rich man replies to him, I've done that since birth. Well, Jesus knew hearts, doesn't he? He knew minds. He knew what this man's Lord was. So then he says to him, sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. It says he went away sad because he was a man of great wealth. What does that show? It showed right there that Jesus Christ's desire was him to go from death to life. But the rich man's God was his money. That was where his security, where he found his peace. He was not willing to part with his God and follow Christ. This morning, every single one of us at one point or another are going to have the opportunity. Most, I would say, probably almost all of us in here have come to faith in Jesus Christ, but maybe you're here today and the message stirs your heart and God reveals to you that you are not in fellowship. You do not know Jesus Christ today. I want you to know something. There's really good news. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he paid a price that you and I could never have paid. This morning, it's in the sense, I heard that old hymn again this week that I love so much. Long and Can It Be is the title of it. Some of you probably never heard. It's a very, very old hymn. I love it, though. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's love, blood? Died he for me? Long story short, goes to one of the verses. I think it's the third verse. Says, long my imprisoned spirit lay, cast down in sin and nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. Whoa. Now, what does it say? What is that a reference to? We are in a prison of sin. We are lost. We are enslaved. We are in a prison cell of sin and darkness. What is the only thing that gives us the ability to recognize that we are in this pit, we are in this prison cell of sin? The light of Christ. So that hymn I love, because it talks about, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. It's a picture of coming to faith in Jesus Christ and coming out of that prison cell of sin, being freed through Jesus Christ's work, through the propitiation, his atonement, his payment for our sin. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. I pray this morning that you have rose, you have gone forth, and you have followed him. But if this morning God shines the light of Christ into your prison cell, I want to challenge you today to know that there is no hope in anything or anyone else that you or I will ever see, will ever encounter. Nothing will ever satisfy the longing that we have in our hearts until we are reconciled to the Creator, the God that created us. He desires to fellowship with you and I this morning. Not only a fellowship, he desires to intimately be involved in our lives. The God that we serve this morning, or that this morning you have the ability to come by grace and through faith, confess your sin and ask him to be not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. That Savior this morning will literally, he calls you and I to cast all of our cares on him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So if you're here and God speaks to the greatest of needs that you will ever have, you come to the fact that the understanding that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, I would challenge you this morning to answer that loving call, because you will never find peace in anything else that this world will ever afford you. This life is what the Bible says, a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. I don't think there's anybody in here that's a Hollywood A-lister who's made billions or millions or trillions of dollars for that matter. Those people have the opportunity to indulge in every one of life's desires, carnal and everything else. And you know what I ultimately know? One day, every one of us dies square with the house, in a sense. In other words, we stand before God on the same footing, rich, poor, anywhere in between. And the only thing that will matter at that time is whether you and I have the righteousness of Christ that shields us from the wrath of God. Because we also know the Bible says that there's a place called hell. It's a separation from God. It's a place that is the absence of every good and perfect thing. So this morning, we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that his desire is to save, to cleanse, and to bring life to the broken, the hurting, and those that have not been spiritually reconciled or brought, paid for through the Father. I hope you found this morning's scripture. Again, we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 through 19. And if you are physically able this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. The wall was completed in 52 days on the 25th day of the month of Elul. When all our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were intimidated and lost their confidence, for they realized that this task had been accomplished by our God. During those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him, since he was a son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Era, and his son Johanan, and had married the daughter of Meshullam, son of Bechariah. These nobles kept mentioning Tobiah's good deeds to me, and they reported my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Father God, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. God, we thank you this morning that it can speak, Lord, to the deepest of needs, Father, the convicting that needs to happen, Lord, the encouraging, the challenging. Father, we give you full and free rein today. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, as only you can do. Father God, we know that your word will not return void, Lord, and we commit all of this to you. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Listen to verse 15 again. It says, the wall was completed in 52 days on the 25th day of the month of Elul. Ladies, the first thing that I want to share with you this morning, which is this, push through the pain, and God's plan will prevail. I want to share some encouraging scriptures with you because I know sometimes when we are in the midst of trials, tribulations, everyday life, amen? Everyday life gets tough, doesn't it? Yep. When it gets tough, yes, we know what God's word says, but sometimes it's kind of tough, isn't it? It's tough to not battle with the thought of God, are you really coming through? Is there something that I'm missing? Lord, I want to encourage you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Galatians chapter 6, 9, so we must not grow weary in doing good. In due time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, the Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. See the encouragement in that? What that does, it just speaks to the fact that we can do any and everything that God has called us to, that God has led us into. Not only that, but if we stand firm, God is going to bring it to fruition. We are going to see the harvest if we don't give up. We can't give up. It's so easy to give up. It's so hard to stay in the battles that the Lord has us in. But remember, if it's easy, it's not worth it. That's one of the reasons I believe that as followers of Christ, when the Bible talks about us taking up our cross, being willing to die, and follow him is because it's tough, but it is worth it. There is no life apart from Christ and the blessing of serving, of honoring, and of glorifying him. I love in Deuteronomy 31:8 where it says there, the Lord is the one who will go before you. What did Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6? Remember, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean in not into your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him and what? He directs your path. So it's once again an affirmation of what Deuteronomy 31:8 is saying, because God is going before us so that when you and I either walk into a battle, a valley, a fog bank, a dark night, we get that phone call that we're dreading. We're not going anywhere that God is not already in. God has already gone before us. He's already there. You know what an encouragement that is to me? Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, though sometimes we may feel all alone, we know the promise of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. We go all the way back to the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want what? His provisional promise. What does he do? He makes us lie down in green pastures. Well, what does that mean? That means he leads us to provision. He provides. He brings us beside what? The still waters. Why? Because it scares them to death when the water is rough. So what is it showing? God isn't going to lead us into anything. He leads us to still waters. God is going to protect us, even if the water's rough. His provision, his protection, and his blessing will carry us across it, through it, or whatever that God has in store or planned for us. See, God's will prevail if you and I stay committed and we push through the pain that so often will bind us. You know what I mean? When you're talking about something that you get extremely fearful about, I know with you guys in law enforcement, all right? I know that fear as a former police officer myself. When you go into a situation and all of a sudden your life depends on it, there is an overwhelming fear sometimes that can take you captive. Many officers have lost their lives because in that moment that fear took them captive, it delayed their reaction or response to what they had encountered. And in many thousands of cases over the course of history, it's cost officers their life. So we, as followers of Christ, the same way officers train, why do they train so much? Sometimes you go, goodness gracious, they just train. Why? Because one day when you're faced with a threat, you are going to respond the way that you have been trained to respond when you are effectively trained. How does that apply as Christians? Every single day, we are in a battle. That's why I tell parents, you know, when your children are growing up and we're growing them, don't eagerly try to throw them on the mission field when you're young. They need to grow. They need to know. Matter of fact, what Trevor's doing with that systematic theology with the children, teaching them, in a sense, apologetics, which is defending the faith. Why? Because 80% of kids, that was what the statistic was 15 years ago, leave the faith within 2 years of going and leaving the house. Wonder why? Well, one of the things that they were able to find out was that there is so little systematic theology, meaning teaching people, children, as they grow up, what they believe and why they believe it. It's wonderful for us to teach our children faith, but when our response to a tough question in our children as they're growing up is, well, that's just the way it is, and that's because the Bible says it. No, we need to go back and teach them why they believe what they believe and how to defend their faith. That's what's so important about what Trevor's doing in that class and all of our classes for that matter. All the way from the cradle to the grave, it's important. You cannot stand around and blindly believe that the world, through our blind faith, wonderful, but you and I have to be able to defend it. We've got to be able to stand firm and know what we believe and effectively defend it. Amen? If not, how are we ever going to share the gospel, share truth, share hope, if we can't stand up and effectively share what Jesus is, who he is, and this unimaginable love that he has for us? Listen to verse 16 again. When all of our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were intimidated. They lost their confidence, for they realized that this task had been accomplished by our God. Leads the second thing that I'd like to share with you, the life application principle for the study, and it's this. Seeing God's work accomplished in our lives will bring glory to his name. Powerful right there, because doesn't do a lot for the kingdom if people aren't seeing God's hand in our life, does it? But as I said on Wednesday night in our Elijah Mount Carmel study, when you and I live in true faith, what ends up ultimately happening is people see the hand, the power, and the work of God, and that alone is an incredible testimony to them. How many people in your life have you watched God's hand? I love that hymn. I sing it all the time. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Are you allowing the provisional work of God and his power demonstrated in your life to be that thing that brings glory to his name? The same way with Elijah. Elijah didn't say, hey, Lord, let me take this stick and whack this, and then they'll see that I brought fire and it, no. He cried out, Lord, basically, God, reveal yourself to them. Show them that you're God. No sooner had he said, I'm paraphrasing, that fire falls from heaven, consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the rocks, the water in the trench. Wasn't no modern pyrotechnic act from some Hollywood producer either. It was the hand of God demonstrating his power and demonstrating the reality of who he was to these Baal prophets that refused to believe that he was God. See, it's about God's kingdom. It's about God's glory. It's about God's work, not ours. Nehemiah's obedience and his humility did everything to make the name of Jehovah, God, lifted up. It magnified with Nehemiah this work, impossible work, in this few days here, basically. Less than 2 months. This amazing work That throughout this entire thing, we've got Tobiah and Sanballat. They're jeering at him and they're ridiculing him, threatening him. How easy it would have been for Nehemiah to go, man, I'm going back, as I told you what last week before. I'm going back to the king. I'm the cupbearer, man. The heck with this. I'm not sitting out here and enduring this. People complaining and all this other stuff that he had to deal with. I'm going back to the castle, man. I got a good job already. I don't need this. How many of us have said that? God, I don't need all this. I don't need all this. I'm just trying to do what you want me to do. I don't deserve all this. Of course, then we know what the Bible says. Consider yourself blessed when you suffer for the name. Remember when they hate you, they hated me first. Scripture after scripture after scripture reminds us that what we suffer as followers of Christ is nothing new. That pastor that was killed less than 2 weeks ago, what for? Simply because they hate what he represented as a Christian. It's okay to be hated for Christ and truth, then loved for a lie. Who in here wants to live a lie, live for a lie? I want to be loved for truth. I want to be loved because it's not my truth. It's the indisputable truth of the God of all creation. The unchangeable truth. Remember, truth, real truth, can't be changed. It's what it is. Remember, seeing God's work accomplished in our lives will bring glory to his name. Now listen to verses 17 through 19 again. During those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him, since he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his sons Jehohanan, and Mary, the daughter of Meshullam, son of Bekiah. These nobles kept mentioning Tobiah's good deeds to me, and they reported my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. This third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this: a victory in battle is great, but never forget, we are in a war. Tobiah realized here that he'd been beaten. Sanballat, all of them, they realized all this oppositional force that had been trying to oppose Nehemiah from day one, they realized that they had been beaten. We see right here, Tobiah wasn't going to give up. And a true adversary never does. Remember this verse that I shared with you continually, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be alert. I wonder why it says this. Be alert. And then it says, for your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. See, the enemy. Is Tobiah just doesn't like Nehemiah because he just doesn't like what he looks like? No, there was a spiritual dynamic to this. This spiritual adversity that is coming against Nehemiah had to do with who Nehemiah was serving. That's what we deal with, church. This adversity, this mountain that days feels like we're trying to climb, doesn't have anything to do with just us. Doesn't have anything to do with your coworker just because they don't like you. When you're dealing in that spiritual realm as a follower of Christ, light and darkness hath no fellowship. Do you realize if you're a true, regenerate follower of Jesus Christ and you're in the presence of someone who has rejected the Lord, who is literally an emissary of Satan, you ever wondered why in the world? I just don't know. Why just don't? It just, they didn't like me from day one before I opened my mouth. I wonder why. Light and darkness hath no fellowship. Doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with who you have been raised in. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That is what we're dealing with, church. And every single day, in one respect or another, you and I are in a sense a Nehemiah that God has in our prospective ministries. No matter who you are, where you are, We are all in an undertaking, in a sense, a wall project, because we're furthering and advancing the kingdom of heaven. Just because you're not in a pulpit or in a stadium preaching to tens of thousands doesn't lessen or minimize your impact and your ability to do what God wants you to. Only when you and I believe that our work is insufficient is when we hinder our own ability for God to use us. God will use us mightily. To obey is better than sacrifice. So you and I just have to be obedient. Doesn't matter where you and I are at, God will and can and will use us if we are yielded to him with a heart of love, a heart of devotion, and a heart of conviction to be what God created us to be. See, Tobiah right here is so funny. See, he's not going to give up. He tries to position himself in a sense here in this governing structure now of the city. He's got all of these, this network, right? You see this? Now he's got everybody writing letters. Oh, man, Tobias, really good guy. He's doing some really good stuff. Why don't you let him on your advisory council for the city? Do what? This is the guy that's been trying to get us to stop from day one. What do you mean he's a great guy and he's got lots of insight and blah, 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 right? This is crazy. That's what we would think, right? Wait a second. He's got all these people. We start to get to it. Why, for many in Judah were bound by oath to him, since he was married to the son-in-law, blah, blah, blah. Right? He married the daughter of Meshullam. Right? These nobles kept mentioning Tobiah's good deeds to me. They reported my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Interesting, isn't it? To me, that really shows the tenacity with which the enemy desires to infiltrate everything. He desires to infiltrate it in every level. He'll do it through outright opposition. He'll do it through passive aggressiveness, passiveness. He'll do it trying to infiltrate everyone around us. But there's one goal still. And what is that? To shut us up. To stop us. Even if he can't outright overthrow leadership, he'll try everything in his power to undermine it, to gossip, tear apart, whatever, the leader, the pastor, anything that's been done anywhere. And right here, Tobiah is representing the Jezebel spirit. By the way, Jezebel spirit isn't just the prostitute spirit we think about. No, this is a whole entire spirit realm thing. This is this whole entire thing. He's hungry for power. He wants to get in the midst of it. To do good things? Nope. To tear apart the work of the Lord. We've got to be mindful. Be mindful that that war with that person at work that just disdains you, and it's like there's outright, almost physical warfare, and you're like, what in the world? Keep in mind. Oh, a person got fired because they ultimately, right? Their sheep's clothing came off. Something happened at work. They got fired. You go, oh, finally that's over with. Oh, we're in a war. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. The adversary is going to send another one. Don't sit back and think, oh boy, it's all over. Now I don't have to worry about it anymore. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there are going to be consistent and continual battles, because when do we know it's over? When we breathe our last breath, when the Lord takes us home. We are a threat until the day that we breathe our last breath. Now, do we need to run around being fearful of, uh-oh? No, not at all. We need to be vigilant, self-controlled. What is it? Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, as we saw 3 weeks ago. We need to number our days. The Bible, what does it say? Teach us to number our days. Church, don't be critical of your spouse. Don't be critical of your boss. Don't be critical of your president. Don't be critical of your Sunday school teacher. Don't be critical of your deacons, your pastor. Because when you do, you put yourself at odds with God. You need to encourage them, pray blessings on them. Well, I don't like what they're doing. Be thankful you're not in the position of leadership that they're in. You just thank God that God would not have put anybody in your life or my life that's not supposed to be there. You pray blessings on them and you let God deal with it. Amen? That's the smartest thing to do as a follower of Christ, because that's what God's word commands us to do. Every single one of us, whether we like it or not. I've seen a lot of things in my lifetime that I did not like. You know what I knew biblically my responsibility was to do? What God's word says. Now, sometimes was that so hard that I wanted to bite my tongue off? Absolutely. Are there at times that I've seen things done where I've said, Lord, just take me home. I'm so tired of fighting. Yes. Life isn't easy. The Lord promised it wouldn't be easy, but he said it'd be worth it. Amen. We know that this battle we're in is worth it. Listen to Sweet Beulah Land on the way to church this morning. I'm kind of homesick for a country, and I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, where time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and one day on thee I'll stand. There my home will be eternal, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. Are you longing for Beulah Land today? Not in a fatalistic mindset because you're just sick and tired of everything. Yes, we'll battle that at times. We'll do what Paul said, I desire to depart, which is by far much greater. Realizing, though, how is this lost world going to ever know about Jesus if we have gone on to our reward? We've got to stay and share Jesus, because I know one thing. Not every person has come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm so thankful that God hadn't honored. I know you've probably thought the same thing, our request at times. Oh, Lord, just come back today. You know what I say? Someone's mama, someone's dad, someone's husband, someone's wife, someone's little boy, someone's little girl today, this very moment, doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And do you realize that if God was to give us our will, they would never come to faith in Jesus Christ and die separated, spend their eternity separated from the God that sent Jesus to die for them. You understand why? God's helped me realize why it's so important that, thankfully, it's not on my time or your time, but it's on God's. Isn't that encouraging, isn't it? And though we sometimes don't think that we can stand another moment, I thank the Lord that he promises that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He will give us all. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. It's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And I thank the Lord today that it's not according to my word, but it's God's word and his time. His timetable, for that matter. Again, push through the pain and God's plan will prevail. Number two, again, seeing God's word accomplished in our lives will bring glory to his name. And a victory in battle is great, but never forget we are in a war. Got a question for you. I was praying about, God, how'd you have me finish this up? Are you struggling today? Are you here and you're going, you know, I've heard everything you said, but I just feel lifeless right now. You know, even Christians can battle that at times. Can battle discouragement. You know, when you have a doctor come in and say, you know, this health report or that health report, or, you know, you lose a family member, we struggle. We love people. We love our families. When you get that dreaded, you know, it could be cancer. It could be this. The list is endless. Maybe this morning you're heavy-hearted about somebody that you love. Well, I want you to know something today. If they're a follower of Jesus Christ, ain't nothing to worry about. Because as a follower of Jesus Christ, we should stay homesick for a country that we've never been before. See, we're going to a place, as the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Can you imagine? I think at times when I even envision, because I'm a visual person. I've done a lot with building. So when it talks about the gates of heaven being formed out of a single pearl, I'm thinking logistics. Dude, what would be the size of the clam that had that thing in there? Are you like that? See, I'm like that. God can speak it into existence, but I'm thinking about the clam that God allowed to grow, that, right? But can you imagine how beautiful that would be? Is God being glorified in your life today? Are you winning those small battles but then get obliterated soon after the victory march because you didn't realize that you had to stay vigilant while you were doing your end zone dance, you know, doing football? And then you get discouraged, like Elijah we saw, right? And what happens right after this amazing victory? Queen Jezebel says, hey, I'm going to kill him. As sure as I live, he's dead. Next thing you know, this man who watched this power of God displayed in his ministry is running from a woman who says, I'm going to kill you. Not realizing, wait a second, God could smoke everybody that came after him. But it happens to us. Are you here this morning after a Mount Carmel victory and you're running in fear from some person? God's not a God of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Are you scared? I'm going to tell you, I know this firsthand. You scared something's going to happen to one of your kids? I know that fear. I'm going to tell you what, I don't give the enemy that victory anymore. I know my God is bigger than that. My God holds my children. By the way, they're not my children. They're on loan. They're his. That's what I know this morning. Do you know what a freedom and a comfort it is in knowing that, though? Because I know Dad is going to take care of his children. So there's nothing worry's going to do to me but rob me of the blessing that God has entrusted me with as a follower of Christ, to live in peace, to live in hope. And the enemy disdains that. So what does he do? He's relentless to try to steal our joy. So when we walk in here on a Sunday morning, we look like everybody just, our whole entire life, we're going to call everybody we know is gone. And we'll walk in because why? Well, I got to buy tires. I don't have the money for it. You know what? You go outside, you have a pop tire, and you go, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And we start thinking about that. We go to church. We look like we got a zombie stare. They're like, you okay? Yeah, I'm great. I'm fine. Inside, you're going, I don't know how in the world I'm going to buy these tires. So what you're saying is, right, God, I don't know if you're going to provide for me. You promised to, but I don't know, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Instead of going in and saying, Lord, I ain't worried about that. I'm not letting Satan get that dominion. I'm going into church, and I'm fixing it. I'm going to blow up on King Jesus, man. I'm going to be shouting. I'm going to be joyfully rejoicing in the fact that I am a follower of Christ. And if I have to ride around on May Pops, so be it. Because you're bigger than this stuff. And you've got it under control. And I'm not going to allow worry about what's going to happen 3 minutes or 30 years from now. Oh, what happens if the economy crashes when I'm getting ready to retire? Who cares? We'll all starve together. Praise the Lord. Amen? We can't change it. Oh, what happens if the coronavirus comes here next week? Well, big deal. We'll cough it up together. Really? Who cares? I know one thing. If the coronavirus gets me, all I got was the winning ticket to go home. Amen? I'm not going to be worried about, oh, Lord, I didn't get to retire. Lord, send me back. Amen. You're going to be in the presence of Jesus, worshiping around God's throne. It's not going to be cold. It's not going to be hot. There ain't going to be no thermostat. You won't get chilled. I can't believe some of you ain't shouting right now. Most of us won't get hot anymore. Amen? See, there's a lot of really great things when we leave in the Lord's time, no matter what and how it happens. Doesn't matter. Let's see. My question to you is this morning, if you realize right now that you're on a pile of ruins, what are you going to do right now? Because the series is almost over. We spent a lot of time in it. We've dealt with rebuilding the ruins, but see, ultimately, this is where it comes down to. I could get out here on Sunday mornings, and I'll be honest with you, it is in my personality to do. I could walk down the aisles, and I could look, and just about look at everybody as I was doing it during an invitation, and say, I know there is someone here, and we're not going to leave here till you answer God's voice. And I know week in and week out, God's dealing with people. I know, because his word does not return void. And I know I could go down and I could do emotional appeals walking down these aisles and get loud and get quiet and do it so much that you're the one that's battling that week that you'd finally decide you're going to get up and come forward because I continued and basically badgered you till you knew that this wasn't going to stop till you listen. You know why I don't do that? Because I am not the author of salvation, friends. I am not the convictor. I can't be your conscience as much as I want to see everyone not only come to faith in Jesus Christ, but live the abundant life as a follower of Christ. And the reason that you don't hear me talk is I don't want to get in the way of God's work, but also I don't want to get in the way of your ability to answer him because you decided you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want you to come one day and say, you know, Brother John, I just felt like you were talking to me that day, and I got up there and I prayed and you know, I didn't things just didn't work out, and I just kind of went back to where I was. That doesn't do anything, does it? But see, when you finally get tired of being sick and tired, the same way that happened to me on September 20th of 2004, you do it not because anybody compelled you. You're sick and tired of living this broken heartache of a life separated from the God that created you. You're tired of never know true joy. You're tired of waking up every morning with this intense longing that something's missing but never knowing what it is and continuing to try to fill it with things and substances. But when you finally get the fountain of living water, which is what happened to me, it was so amazing how all of these things, as the old hymn says, the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's that hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I got a question for you as we close. Are the things of earth growing strangely dim for you? Are you finding yourself, like I used to ride four-wheelers and jet skis and go caving and all of the flying airplane, doing all this fun stuff, and I mean, I seized every day with everything I had. It's really interesting how all of those things don't have the appeal. And I think I've truly understand why. Because my heart is at peace and rest in Christ. Doesn't mean that I don't enjoy having fun with people. I love the fellowship. And doesn't mean that I don't like get in a real fast car. And I'd love to go real fast. I like to go fast, just fun. Doesn't mean that. What it means is the significance of it, it's not what it used to be. You know that old hymn, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Do you have him this morning? Not as a lucky rabbit's foot, not as a talisman, not a get out of hell free card that you refer to when things are bad, or the Holy Spirit life preserver that's hanging on the wall, that whenever something happens, we run over to the side there and oh Lord, I'm in trouble right now. And we put on, oh Lord, just fix this. And Lord, I'm going to start straightening up and I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start reading my Bible, Lord. Oh, don't let my wife leave me. Don't my husband leave me, Lord. And if you don't do that, I'll start going to church, Lord. Oh, I want you to fix this right now. And then all of a sudden things happen. What happens? Thank you, Lord. That was great. And you hang it back up and just keep on going. Do the same thing repetitively. I want you to know something. As a follower of Jesus Christ, what happens is it's your life. When you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that is your life. Not putting it on and taking it off. It is you. You die to self. You've been raised in him. You don't want to go back if that's you. Where are you this morning? Are you on a pile of rubble? You've repented and the Lord has begun the work, or are you on that pile of rubble and you don't know where to start? I want to challenge you with something this morning. Jesus Christ is the builder. Salvation is the key. Jesus wants to begin a work in you today, but it can only start when you and I recognize that we are on a pile of rubble, whether it's from our own doing, but before that, knowing that we are born separated from God. The only thing that can bridge that gap is Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't want to save you so you and I follow rules. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the blueprint that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we look at God's word and it is the fence panels that keep us in the place that prevents pain. When God says, hey, don't run out to Nashville tonight when you've got a family and go throw your life down the tubes, it doesn't make you more of a Christian if you go and do that, or any less of one. What it says is, hey, I want to bless you. And that's not a blessable lifestyle for you because you have a family that you should be taking care of, and that's not something that's going to glorify the Lord. Do you want more ruins, or do you want the blessing of God? This morning, what do you want? Can't have it both ways. I know I can't, but I know one thing. There is no peace like living in the blessing of the Prince of Peace as a follower of Christ. If you don't know what would happen if you breathe your last breath right now, I want you to know something. Jesus Christ died. He paid the price for you. But have you professed him as Lord, believed in your heart? Have you prayed to receive him as not only your Savior, but the Lord of your life? Confessed your sin, laying down your life, drawn that definitive line in the sand from the direction you were going. Repentance is turning to Christ from the direction you were going. Or did you think you interlocked with arms with Jesus and you guys are walking together? No, it doesn't happen like that. It's either all him or it's no him. Galatians 2:20, we've been crucified with him. We don't live. Christ lives in us. If you're that person today, I want you to know Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. God, we thank you for truth. Lord, we thank you that the rubble of the messes we make in life, Lord, can be overwhelming, Father, but I thank you that your son Jesus died for us, paid the price, rose again that third day, and right now is seated at the right hand of God the Father, desiring to love us, to save us, to fellowship with us. Father, I pray this morning that we would recognize that there is no way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. God, I pray this morning if there's one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that you have revealed that they do not know you as their Lord, their Savior. Father, I pray today that they would pray to receive you as not only the Savior, but the Lord of their life, confessing their sin. During this invitation, Lord, they'd reach out. We could walk with them, show them the intense love you have as your word demonstrates to us. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for those times that we get out, we get off track, Father, that we are able to rededicate our lives to you, those who know you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, you're able to refine our purpose once again, God, as we get so distracted or overwhelmed with the foolish tricks the enemy lays in daily for us. God, we thank you so much this morning that it's never too late, Lord. You are a God that does your greatest work when we are despondent and at the end of our rope. Lord, move in a mighty way during this invitation today with rededications, recommitments, Lord, ones that are praying for friends that are struggling right now, neighbors, job situations. God, it's endless the things that we can come to you. We can come to you about everything. And Father, I pray that you will be lifted up, glorified, and exalted today. You deserve it all. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.